Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Hey guys, welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today's guest is someone who's bridging the gap between high performance in business and at home. He's a leadership consultant, speaker, and host of the massively popular Dad Nation podcast. Mitchell Osmond helps high-achieving men reclaim their health, rebuild relationships, and lead at every level of life. Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Junaid. It's really great to be here, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you today.
100%, man. You've spent over 15 years in senior leadership, but the focus of your work now is so deeply personal. What was the turning point for you when you realized success in business wasn't enough, and if things at home were falling apart?
Yeah, people often ask me that question. What was that turning point? And for me, there were two key points. You know, the first one was a big fight that I had with my wife. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk about the second one in a moment. But, you know, we had been married for 3 years at this point. And I just want you to picture, you know, we're sitting on the couch in the living room and it all kind of hit the fan. We were having a fight over money. I think it morphed into something else. And, you know, like I said, at this point, we had been married for just over 3 years, and it was a hard 3 years of struggling. And this fight was our rock bottom moment. Hmm. You know, we fought all the time, but this one was different. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I couldn't fix it. Deep down, I knew that if something didn't change, that this marriage was going to be over. Now, to give you some context, I was just recently let go of a senior leadership position that I was in. My career was everything to me. I mean, it was my identity. So I spiraled into a state of depression. I had put on about 50 pounds. We were $100,000 in debt. I was medicating with drugs and alcohol to sort of cope, right? I was dangerously close to divorce and losing any shred of hope that I had left. And I was checked out. You know, and I was stressed out and I was burned out. And, you know, I really was struggling with this idea that when it came to leadership, when it came to leading organizations and building teams, I would thrive in that environment. But why was it that I was so powerful at work and yet powerless when I came home? And so a bit of the context and the upbringing where I came from is, I mean, I came from a dysfunctional home. I had a non-existent relationship with my father. Alcoholism, drugs, crime was a part of my, you know, childhood. It was littered in throughout my family, and I was caught in the middle of it all, you know. And so I knew that that's where I came from, and I knew that I wanted something different, but I could feel myself continuing to get pulled back into, you know, the trauma of my childhood and repeating the same mistakes that my father had made. And sometimes when I would yell, I would hear his voice in mine. And it was like, I just couldn't seem to stop it. I knew I was called to more. I knew that I could be a better man, but I didn't know how and didn't know what to do. And so, you know, at that point, like I thought something has to change. Now, flash forward about a week later, I was at a funeral and I was singing at this funeral for this wealthy philanthropic man, and the minister that was having the funeral, and he wrapped up this talk to the people in the room. I mean, there were a couple thousand people there. It was huge. He asked the people in the room, are you living a life worthy of imitation? If you were to die tomorrow, would you be proud of the legacy that you left? And I was preparing to sing, and I was preparing to play the last song. I was strapping on my guitar, and I could barely choke out the lyrics of the last song. Because all I could think was, man, if I walked out of this church right now and I got hit by a bus, nobody would want to imitate this life that I had. No one in the room would say he inspired me to have an amazing marriage. Nobody would say he inspired me to get into great shape, or he inspired me to grow my health, my wealth, my happiness. They would probably say he struggled. He had a tough life. and then it was over. And so for me, you know, that was a turning point where I had said, you know, because up to that point, the story of my life, the chapters that were written were, you know, in my childhood, it was sad. And then my marriage, it was a struggle. And so right there and then, yeah, as I was leaving the funeral, I decided to commit to write a new story. And not just for me, but for my wife and for my children. And so then over the next year and a half, I surrounded myself with men who my ceiling was their floor, you know, men who were living where I wanted to go. And within a year and a half, we paid off the $100,000 of that. We had completely restored our marriage. I lost over 60 pounds and was lean and strong and healthy. And I had a mind that was free of distractions and substances, and I was clear and focused for the first time in my life. And so, that was kind of what happened. And then people around me started asking questions like, what are you doing? How did you do all that? And so I started helping my friends for free, helping people draw closer to their spouses, lose weight, you know, get the finances in order, and also get control of their mindset. And then that spiraled into a launch of the Dad Nation podcast, because someone challenged me, like, if you really want to have influence, you need to share your story with the rest of the world. And of course, when I launched the podcast, a few months later, people started asking from around North America, hey, could you help me? And that's when I launched my coaching platform. And basically what I do, man, today is I just share the same principles that changed my life. And I've been able to, this past year and a half, I've been able to scale the podcast to a top 10% globally rated podcast with over 33,000 listeners and a six-figure coaching practice. And all just from just a guy trying to figure it out, man.
Michelle, that's so powerful, because so many of us are conditioned. We've been conditioned to believe that we can't win in both arenas, right? And then you took that turning point. You made a decision like, hey, if I need to change, I need to be around people who are already where I want to be, right? I need to change the minds. I need to clean out all of the negative programming that's in my mind. And how do you do that? Mm-hmm. By putting in good programming so that you completely eliminate all that negative programming and you see the transformation in the life that you are able to make in a year and a half, which is absolutely, absolutely amazing. I mean, it's what everybody dreams about, right? But you have to put in the work. You have to be around the people that are already there. So I love the story, the Dad Nation. Sounds like an amazing podcast. I can't wait to go check it out myself. Now let's talk about what it actually looks like to win at home and in your career. Yes, you shared, you know, what you did, but you also coach men who are already high performers. Mm-hmm. What's often missing when it comes to their health, their mindset, and their home life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, man. And I think, you know, as men specifically, you know, and as high achievers specifically, we can get really focused on the definable metrics, the tangible metrics, right? And this is why we struggle, because it's hard to know if I'm being a great husband unless my wife has given me defined metrics, you know what I mean? She might love me more, but how do you even measure that? And when it comes to being in a better space emotionally and mentally, well, how do you measure that? I mean, it's not as tactical as getting a performance bonus at work or getting a promotion, you know, or what we're leading this tangible team of six individuals or managing a budget. Like, those things are very tactical. They're very practical, and you can very easily define success in those models. And especially for the men who might be listening, the fact that, you know, when we talk about masculinity versus femininity, the masculine essence is driven by accomplishments, by excellence, you know, by mission, right? And so men specifically, especially men who would consider themselves to be highly masculine, are motivated by a sense, a strong sense of mission, by accomplishing things, by, you know, all that stuff. So we're drawn to things that are things that we can quantify as success. So the first thing is we get into problems because it's so much easier to put our time and attention into the things that we're getting immediately rewarded for because we can see the success, right? Yeah. Versus, you know, am I doing better emotionally or in my mindset or in my marriage or am I, you know, whatever. It's hard to define that. And so that's the first trap we fall into. But I think the first step that I walk through with my clients, and the biggest thing we need to get real and honest about is just where we're at in life, you know, because a lot of guys, a lot of people in general will say, well, I'm not where I want to be, or I'm anxious or I'm frustrated or whatever. And so the first step is to get honest, right? And so, and I tell people this all the time, we live in this sort of perpetual state of tension, often of like the person that we want to be, or the person we are, and then the person that we want to be. And within this, you know, space lies our anxiety and our tension, this desire of who we've not yet become. And so that's part of the reason why I work with this, is because when we can get honest about where we're at and take stock of where we're at and get a very clear picture about where we want to be, then we can draft some metrics around that and define mm-hmm. that and be like, okay, well, here are some markers of success in the home, like I have at work, you know what I mean? And so, for example, one of the things I run my clients through is a eulogy exercise, which I really just I fabricate sort of the journey that I went on. Yeah. And I have my clients say, you know, and it's a real visceral experience. I'm like, I want you to visualize, you know, you pass away and your wife or your children, whoever mean the most to you, are actually there writing your eulogy and they're reading it. What are they going to say at your funeral right now if you were to pass away, versus what do you want them to say? And be honest with yourself. And that experience for people is, like I said, is very visceral. And that helps them identify who they want to become. You know, another question I ask is, what do you want to be known for, right, at the end of the day? And so for me, then we basically take that and we reverse engineer that version of you into, you know, yearly, monthly, weekly, daily action steps to become that person, you know. And if we're honest at the end of the day, and I ask myself this question, I've asked myself, but I ask guests on the show at the end of every episode, when you pass away, I want you to picture yourself, you know, you have a fly in the wall experience, if you will, or an out of body experience, and you can hear the things that your children are saying about the man you were, the father you were, the husband you were. What are the things you want them to say? And every time it's never, well, I want them to say they're proud of how much money I made, or they're proud of all the businesses I built. They always say, I want them to know that I love them. I want them to say that I showed up. I want them to say that I was present. And all those things are the intangible things that we struggle so hard to quantify. And so that's the journey we go on, is like redefining success metrics at home as much as we do at work. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know, something that's been on my mind. I was visiting my parents past few weeks, and something that's been on my mind is the word expectation, right? There's an expectation that your parents have for you. There's an expectation that your brothers and sisters and your wife and your kids have for you that we don't know, right? What are those expectations? And if we can manage those expectations, if we can manage what they're thinking and deliver on that, it's just like the KPIs that companies are tracking, the you know, in the professional space, corporate space, they're tracking those KPIs. Did the person meet these KPIs? Yes, they did. Okay, perfect. Now we can give them a promotion. They get a raise. But we don't know those expectations. So what you're defining here, what do you want people to think of you as? Here's the things. Here's the elements that they'll be saying in your eulogy. Let's walk back how and what are the things that we need to do for them to be saying any of those things. So I love that. you know, you walk them back and they get this visceral experience of, oh my God, I'm not doing these things, so it's not going to happen. And it helps them to then come to terms of, hey, these are the things that I should be focusing on. I love that.
Yeah. And you know what, man? I regularly have men just like broken about it. They're in tears, you know, and they read it to their spouses, and they, because like, this is the person I want to become.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and because when I ask clients, what do you want? I tell you, man, 90%, 95% don't even know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
Because they've spent so much of their life trying to live for everyone else that they don't even know what it looks like to be successful for themselves.
Yeah.
Right. And so, that's huge. And when, you know, Stephen Covey in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I think it's chapter 2, is the title is Begin with the End in Mind. Napoleon Hill says, begin with the end in mind.
Yeah.
We have to understand what we want the end to look like, and then reverse engineer that into daily action steps to become the person, the father, the spouse, the whoever, the, you know, the entrepreneur we want to be, and to find that success for us.
Michelle, I love that. I know there's so much to uncover, and we have, you know, so little time. So we're going to spend probably like 4 or 5 minutes on this. How can someone begin reclaiming their health or their mindset when they feel like there's no time? Because tell you the truth, I have 4 kids, right? Where do I find the time to do all the things? You know, I get these questions from my cousins, my friends, how do you find the time to do all the things that you're doing? So what can somebody do to begin reclaiming their health and time? And, you know, even for me, like, how do I bring back activity such as physical fitness into my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I'm just writing a couple things down here because I don't want to forget it. I think, you know, the big thing is to get clear on what I say is what gets your automatic yes, you know, because once you know what automatically gets your yes, then the things that you give your no become very clear, right? Because what we need to understand is the moment you give something or someone your yes, something or someone else is getting a no, okay? So when you say yes to that promotion, maybe your spouse or your kids are getting a no, you know, and you got to be okay with that. And so you have to be able to decide what gets my automatic yeses. What are the uncompromising things that I'm pursuing in my life? Get crystal clear on that, because then you can say no to so many the other things because you've defined what that means for you. And you know, through the eulogy exercise is one way. Another question that I often ask, myself and my clients is, you know, and it's called the best 3 years exercise. Have you ever heard of it before? Okay. So basically what it is this question. If we were to like, you know, finish up this recording, and then 3 years from now, you know, we meet up in the airport somewhere or, you know, we're traveling, And I see you and I'm like, hey, Junaid, how have you been, man? It's been forever since I've seen you. Tell me, it's been 3 years. Tell me about what's going on in your life. And if you were to say to me, Mitchell, this has been the best 3 years of my life. Now, the question is, what would have to be going on in your life for you to be able to say the best 3 years have been the best 3 years of your life? What has to be true about the last 3 years?
Yeah.
And you answer that question like from, you know, the 5 foundations financially, you know, in your fitness, in your family, you know, in your faith, all those quadrants or all those areas. What has to be true in the next 3 years for me to be able to say, this has been the best 3 years of my life? And what we do is we just say, you know, and like I say, get very specific, get very clear. Like, this is the house I'm living in. This is how much time I'm spending with my kids every day. This is how often I'm working. This is my income. This is where my kids are going to school. Like, very visual, and create it like a movie scene. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then this is how much I weigh. This is what I look like. in my fitness, right? You know, you name it, whatever matters the most to you. And then basically we take that. I have an exercise called Legacy Ladders, mm-hmm. and then it's a filtering system. And so you take that movie scene, that end picture of 3 years from now, that's very, very tactical, very practical. You have a very clear picture of what everything looks like. And then you categorize that into, you know, those, the dreams and then the strategies. So the first rung is the dreams. What are the dreams? And then we ask the question, what are the strategies we need to implement to see those dreams come to fruition? And then the last step is the actions, whether they're daily, weekly, you know, whatever. What are the weekly actions that I need to take to implement these strategies to implement, to see this dream come to fruition? But now the big point here is, if you don't have clarity on what's most important to you, if you don't truly know what you want and you haven't put time into that, and you don't know what gets your automatic yes, mm-hmm. and you don't know what you want to be known for, you don't know any of those things, then it's impossible to even start this exercise. You must begin with the end in mind. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Because when you have that end in mind, it's like, it's the simplest thing, right? When you buy a Lego set, they literally show you, this is the end product you're going to get, right? Mm. And here are the steps to get to this end product. So when you're defining, what you're saying is, hey, be super specific on what you want to be in the 3 years. Super specific on where you want to be, who you want to be. And when you do that, your mind is already making changes we don't even know. Like subconscious already working on making that a reality. So I absolutely love that.
And if I can just add in real quick, you know, that's the plan. But the second component here is you need to get around, you know, a community of people who are like-minded, who are going to not only, who are a couple steps ahead of you, who are not only going to show you that it's possible for you, but they're going to give you the exact steps you need to take. And they're going to keep you motivated and keep you honest and keep you humble along the way. And so, yeah, it's the vision, it's the strategy, but it's also the community of getting around people who are going to hold you to that standard that you set for yourself, because there's going to be days where you don't feel like it. And that's what I did in my journey. I took five. Yeah. I got five people who stepped into my life. You know, like I said, my ceiling was their floor, and they were like, dude, you have more in you. You have more in you. And they pulled me forward when I couldn't push myself.
I love that, Michelle. Thank you so much. And community is something that I am a huge proponent of. I even wrote a book called Power of Community, focusing on how to bring those people around you, or how to find the people that are going to enable you to get to the level that you want to, right? I didn't just become a podcaster because I wanted to. I found myself in a group of podcasters, and that helped me to keep moving forward. My cycling journey, my beekeeping journey, all of those were powered by communities. So Mitchell, thank you so much for bringing that full circle of the power of community. Mm-hmm. All right, let's have some fun before we wrap up this episode. Dexter or Breaking Bad, who's the better anti-hero dad?
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he definitely is. Now, that's mainly because I have not seen Dexter. I've seen Breaking Bad a couple of times, and I do like the way he became, you know, he did the transformation that he had to. Mm-hmm. All right, next up. If you could master one new skill overnight, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Probably painting. So random.
Painting walls or painting art?
Oh, like artwork. Yeah.
Artwork, yeah. I love that. All right, last question. What's the one lesson from your podcast that still hits you hard from your podcast?
Yeah, be the lowest heart rate in the room. For me, that's something that came out of one of the episodes. And my guest said, as a man, it's your responsibility to be the lowest heart rate in the room, that you are supposed to be the thermostat, not the thermometer. You don't react to everything around you and create more, like a thermometer, and create more tension. In fact, it's your responsibility to show up with calm, with peace, and help regulate the emotional temperature in the room. And so lower your heart rate because your children are watching, and your tone sets a precedent, and they're learning from you. You are the blueprint from an emotional standpoint. And I thought that was powerful, and it's never really left me.
No, Mitchell, that was absolutely deep. And I absolutely love that, being the lowest heart rate. It's almost like you're the foundation. You're the, you know, you're setting the standard, or keeping everybody calm by them detecting you.
Mm-hmm. Mitchell, well, at the end of the day, like you're, you know, my son is going to grow up to become the man that I am today. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, my daughter is going to grow up to crave the attention of a man that looks just like me. Mm-hmm. And so if I want my son to be a great man, I have to model it today. If I want my wife or my daughter to marry a great man, she has to know what that looks like. So when she can recognize it, when she sees it. And so for me, that is the responsibility, you know what I mean? And so that's why I do what I do. It's because I want to model this for my children.
I love it, brother. I know. So this was deep. This entire episode was really deep. You know, you walked us through your journey, what the expectations and how to go forward. But I know there's so much more we've got to unpack. In the next episode, we're diving into how to lead your family with the same excellence you bring to your business and the three pillars you teach to make that happen. Do you mind sharing a teaser for what we're going to be talking about in that episode?
Yeah, for sure. Just let me know when you want me to start.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having this conversation today. I mean, we're going to get into our fitness, you know, why it's so important for us to model health and wellness, and then why it's so important to model healthy relationships in our life, and why it's so important to really kind of get control of our mindset, which is our emotions and our self-sabotaging tendencies and, you know, our anger and all those different things. So it's going to be an incredible conversation.
Mitchell, I love that. Thank you so much. Guys, make sure you hit follow, because episode 2 or the next episode drops next. And if this conversation resonated, go check out Michelle's work at dadnationco.com and follow him on Instagram at dadnationco. Thank you so much, Michelle, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.